Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Brian Scheid, Senior Editor for S&P Global Platts.
You know, you said something there that's quite amazing to me is, two things. One, that it's the new kind of low-hanging fruit battleground, the one where they've got a template to where it seems like they can have some success. And I do agree with you on that, that there is a track record now for pipeline protest success. And so they've got some organization and they've got some just guidance, I guess, which is very difficult for protests to happen because you've got so many different viewpoints coming in. But the other part was how much more valuable the pipelines in the ground become. That's really important because when you're talking about 64 companies, oil companies, whatever, last year declared bankruptcy, we've got people going out and restructuring, you've got people trying to raise capital, all these different points, that really could help somebody's balance sheet or assets sheet just because of how valuable pipelines have become. Am I out of line for saying that?
No, I think that's you know, you're thinking the right things. I think that, you know, one of the things I've been thinking about is whether or not, you know, we're now in a bit of a domestic supply decline after, you know, we hit this supply peak. So there's a space on these pipelines is relatively not as competitive as it might have been had prices remained high. But let's say prices go back up in the near term. You're going to have a lot more crude oil. You know, some of that's going to get shifted over to the rails, but there's also going to be a more of a premium on space in a lot of these already built pipelines. Now, if for a variety of reasons you can't get pipelines built, you know, that could create a real problem for moving products, crude oil, everything, particularly out of the Bakken.
You follow coal much? Coal regulations?
No, not at all. I'm vaguely aware of some stuff, but we have people in our Houston office too. If you need in the future, if you need someone to talk coal policy, they can help you out.
Okay, no, I just thought I'd check because I know that's quite a hot topic right now with all of them shutting down and just
tangentially aware of stuff like the Clean Power Plan challenge and things like that, but. I don't typically on a day-to-day basis follow coal.
So what would you say that your number one regulation in Washington is that you're hearing from energy companies that you talk to or that you've heard second, third hand through your network that is the biggest bullseye for energy companies? Either they want it to go through or they want it eliminated.
Yeah, I think in the before it was listed, it was the number one issue was the crude export ban, or you could call it a ban. It was limitations on the export of U.S. crude that was lifted December of last year. So I think there's not one unified voice as to what the U.S. oil industry is pushing for or against in terms of regulation. I think what you're hearing a lot of is expanding production on federal lands, whereas they're facing a lot of opposition from environmentalists who want production on federal lands limited, if not banned completely. You have the 5-year offshore plan coming up, and the industry is really pushing for expanding that. No one really wants to drill in the Arctic right now, but they want to be able to in the future. So that's another thing. And, the methane emissions is another big one, too. Both EPA and the Interior have come out with their own limits on methane from oil and gas operations. And that's potentially going to be expanded. A lot depends on what happens in November. But that's potentially going to be expanded to every oil and gas well in the country.
So if you're dealing with a lot of policy and oversight and that sort of thing, at what point do you guys, or if you do you layer in OPEC and Saudi Arabia or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you saw you know, with the meeting that's happening, I guess it's coming up later this week, the sort of technical meeting kicks off tomorrow. At one point, Russia's energy minister, and also I believe Venezuela's oil minister both had talked about getting the U.S. at the table for that meeting. Now, the U.S., the Obama administration immediately turned down that request, you know, because, one, they don't want to have that much to do with an OPEC decision, and, two, they have no control over what is or isn't produced in the U.S. by, you know, U.S. companies that aren't, you know, these aren't in the U.S., it's not state-owned. But, you know, there is sort of a crossover of, you know, a lot of these U.S. producers on that are just starting to talk on these earnings calls are talking about what impact a potential OPEC freeze might have on prices, and then in turn on U.S. supply.
So talk to me about what you guys did with Congressman Cramer. You had him on one of your podcasts, and well, first off, before we get into Cramer, tell me about your podcasts you guys have going on.
Yeah, it's called Capital Crude. It is one of the only, if not the only, oil policy podcast out there. Every week we talk about a different story within U.S. oil policy, which can be a little dry. We try to make it a little fun. You know, this week we had an interview with the former Energy Secretary, Bill Richardson, who talked about his previous relations with OPEC and how that has changed over time, and how the U.S. involvement and concern over what OPEC is doing has transformed. You know, we've talked to, the week before that, we talked to Michael Broome, the head of the Sierra Club, regarding the environmentalists and their fight to, you know, keep fossil fuel production off federal lands. It depends. We talked a lot about the race. So the episode I had with Representative Cramer, he was as a surrogate for the Trump campaign, and he came in and talked about what energy policy, specifically an oil policy, would look like if Trump became president. Congressman Cramer has become sort of a bit of an outspoken critic of OPEC in Washington. He's been a big critic of the Obama administration's efforts to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from oil and gas operations, from a lot of different, he's been a critic of a lot of different the efforts from the White House to combat climate change as well. So we talked a little bit about that, and, you know, what exactly, you know, the difference between a Trump White House or a Clinton White House might have on oil policy and oil production and demand going forward.
Did you ever get to meet, or do you know, U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp? She's a Democrat from North Dakota, but she's pretty much pro-oil, so I'm not sure if your paths have crossed with her.
Yeah, absolutely. Her and Senator Hoeven as well, and they seem to be, obviously I don't know what I'm assuming they have some big differences on other issues, but they seem, North Dakota Congressional Convention seems aligned on energy policy, at least.
To listen to the full-length interview with Brian Scheid, senior editor for S&P Global Platts, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of Kids in Capitalism. I would like to take this time to talk to you about Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need to give Hatch Realty a call today. Hatch Realty is the number one real estate team in North Dakota, according to the Wall Street Journal, and is featured in Inc. Magazine's 5,000 Fastest Growing Private Companies in America. Eric Hatch has been endorsed by Barbara Corcoran from the hit show Shark Tank. He was voted best real estate agent by the firm of Fargo Moorhead, is an Alumni Association Horizon Award winner from North Dakota State University, and the host of Real Estate Radio. When buying or selling real estate, there is only one company to call, and that's Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty. in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Give Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty a call today at 701-212-1572. Again, that's 701-212-1572. Or check them out online at livefargomorehead.com. Again, that's livefargomorehead.com. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate.
A perfect winter getaway is waiting for you in the Black Hills. The Lodge at Deadwood Gaming Resort offers luxurious guest rooms, first-class casual fine dining, and the largest convention facility in the area. Recently voted best casino, hotel, and restaurant in the Black Hills, the Lodge at Deadwood has everything you need for the perfect winter getaway. Skiing and snowmobiling are located just minutes from the Lodge. Or ask about gaming and spa packages. Elevate your experience. Visit DeadwoodLodge.com, Deadwood's newest legend.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
The oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.